You and I back together again. Busy show Tuesday, January 31st, 2023 on Connecticut Today. We kicked off with news of a proposal that might let cities and towns participate in a state-sponsored pilot program to install new traffic enforcement cameras. Milford Orange GOP State Rep. Kathy Kennedy joined us later on to chat about that camera proposal and other proposed Vision Zero safety policies. And Heritage Foundation tech policy analyst Jake Denton joined us again, updating us on the continuing controversy over the app TikTok. Traffic cameras, what do you think, huh? We're here again. Hey, how are you? 203-333-9422-333-WICC. It is Connecticut Today. Yes, they are considering again at the Capitol the possible use of, I don't know whether you want to call them traffic cameras, red light cameras, speeding cameras, infraction cameras. Oh, this could be coming. Apparently, there was a legislative hearing up in Hartford, and we're going to talk to a participant there a little bit later on in the show. There was a hearing up there earlier in the week looking at how do we cut down on the number of people that were killed in these crashes happening. Now, they're not all happening at city intersections. But a lot of you folks know, especially if you're into and through downtown Bridgeport, Hartford, New Haven, you know, there's a lot of speeders there, a lot of drivers that, shall we say, have relinquished anything they've been taught in driver's ed and the idea of speeding and careening around corners. And unfortunately, hitting and killing people has become all too complicit here in the state. 239 passengers and drivers died in crashes last year. That's a 42% jump from 5 years before. DOT, 75 pedestrians were killed, up 31% in the past 5 years. Now, some of it is speeding, some of it's distracted driving, some of it is people, or peoples, depending upon what you like. Some of it is people just driving like idiots. So the notion here has been, now in the past few days, and again, we'll talk to somebody about that coming up on the show today, and somebody who was vocally opposed to it, we'll talk to her tomorrow. But you have a scenario here now where the state is looking to get more leeway, or to give more leeway to individual cities and towns who want to put up what they call traffic cameras, red light cameras, speeding cameras, whatever, because maybe the notion here is that, and again, a lot of people unfortunately are killed because they're not paying attention, this, that, and the other. But, you know, we've seen it all the time. I mean, I've nearly been killed, literally, nearly been killed about three or four times over the past probably 10 years when, you know, but for the grace of God, I got through an intersection and somebody was just, I mean, barrel arson through that intersection. If I had been T-boned at the speeds they were going, I likely would not have been talking to you today. New bill in Hartford. Now, let me know what you think about this. Because there are, it's funny, when you look at this issue, there are concerns from all over the political spectrum. You have conservatives who don't like it, and liberals, I mean far left and far right folks here, who are both united on the fact that they think it's these cameras' use outside in public. Even though you're in public, there are people on the far right and the far left who are kind of uniting on this, coming around to the great circle of politics, where if you go far right enough or far left enough, you probably meet somewhere in the center at the bottom of the circle. There are people uniting on this, saying this is government overreach. This is the ultimate example of the big state, of the big political state coming down on you. And yet there are people who are saying, "But wait a minute, these are public roads. You should expect to have some sort of vigilance, some sort of monitoring, some sort of effective enforcement to make sure there is some level of safety." So what does the bill actually say? All right. the bill that's currently under consideration. Let me know what you think about this at 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. And let me say up front, this may upset some of you. You may say, bravo, Paul. Let me just say up front that I would tend to lean toward supporting this with caveats, with specific boundaries and guardrails set up, but that's just me saying that. So the bill in question would give cities and towns the power to allow traffic enforcement cameras in school zones, pedestrian safety zones, and other locations with a history of crashes from people running stop signs or red lights with state approval. By the way, this is from the a story, I should just cite this, the Connecticut Examiner story, yesterday Brendan Crowley's story in the Connecticut Examiner. So the bill under consideration now as part of a package of safety measures here to try and cut down. The bill would give cities and towns the power to allow traffic enforcement cameras. That's what they're calling them. Now, whether they'll be based on speed, or are you not stopping completely at a red light, or are you kind of in the middle of the night, there's nobody around you, so you kind of roll through the, what do they call that, a boulevard stop? You kind of just, you Cadillac it. You know, you kind of, hey, I'm just going to swing around here. It's 2 in the morning. Then 2 weeks later, you get a check in the mail, or a ticket in the mail. The bill will give cities and towns the power to allow traffic enforcement cameras in school zones, again, pedestrian safety zones, and other locations with a history of crashes from people running stop signs or red lights. Now, all this needs state approval. Police could use the cameras to fine drivers who speed or run red lights. So what do you think of that? Huh? Now, somebody who would be in favor of this is going to say, well, don't speed and execute the driving that you should execute at the intersections or at the ramps or at the stop lights or stop signs at the corner properly. You know, make a complete stop, turn slowly, don't barrel arse through the stop signs, and don't speed. Now, other people, and there's already, I mean, if you go to some of the news articles about this, you've got a lot of people on both sides of the aisle. You've already got people saying, hey, well, wait a minute now. This is, you know, this is the nanny state. This is big state surveillance. Now, okay, I get that, but let me ask you this. Aren't the roads public? In other words, if you, follow me on this. If you, and I'm not saying that I want everybody ticketed and everybody sent a ticket in the mail or whatever, but if you are out, and some courts have agreed on this, in other words, courts have said that when you're in public, all right, you have no presupposition of privacy. I mean, when I'm out, whether I'm walking or I'm in the car, and I'm just playing devil's advocate here, not that I believe this or would side on this side totally, but I'm just playing devil's advocate here. Would I think somebody would be watching me? Sure, I do. I do. That's why I stopped jogging naked years ago. I got warned, and that was it. I'm kidding. It'd be a frightening sight. Trust me. Says here, now this is the thing that's got people a little wary about this. And again, folks are going to wonder here because in the end, what does this mean? It means the green Jesus. It means them dead presidents. Money. Police could use the cameras to fine drivers who speed or run red lights. Now, I would think that if a city or town is going to do this and try it maybe on an experimental basis, they should. See, I would be okay with this as long as there's ample warning for drivers. You know, traffic cameras ahead, traffic video enforcement ahead, whatever lingo the town attorney says insulates you from lawsuits. And you know there are going to be lawsuits. And as long as this system is tested to make sure it doesn't send a driver something if they have come to a complete stop? And again, would they calibrate it to raise a red flag if you're just kind of doing 1 or 2 miles an hour? Or do you have to come to a complete stop? What do you think? And I got nailed for, I think, the last ticket I had, which had to be 7, 8 years ago, coming home at night, about a half a mile from my condo in Wallingford, nobody on the road, a clear moonlit night, and stop sign I roll up to, and after that stop sign, I got to go up the hill, take a left at the stoplight, and I'm home, and I didn't come to a complete stop. I looked around and didn't see the fine Wallingford police officer in his cruiser parked to the right of me up against a high row of hedges. That's why he was there, because he knew I'd never see him. And I didn't. And the minute I rolled past, down came the lights, and he pulled me over, and I said, you know what? You got me. I know you're going to say it doesn't matter what time it is, officer, and it doesn't. I'm really tired. Give me the ticket. So $90 later or whatever. But see, he made a judgment call there. Will the cameras be able to make a judgment call or not? All right, what do you think? Evan, hang on. We'll start with you. 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. Here's the bottom line. Should the states now start loosening up the guidelines and giving your city or your town the option, if they want to, at dangerous intersection where there have been people killed, speeding, collisions, should the state allow your municipality to go ahead and maybe try the traffic cameras, see if that slows people down? As we continue our discussion regarding safety, driver safety, public safety, what can we do to stop the growing numbers over the past few years of traffic accidents, pedestrians getting hurt or killed? Is there really anything legislatively that can be done? Joining us right now is Republican State Rep Kathy Kennedy, Republican serving Milford and Orange, and she is the ranking member, the top Republican on the General Assembly's Transportation Committee. And the committee heard testimony yesterday about what's being called, as many other cities and states call it, a Vision Zero initiative. Hey, Kathy, it's Paul here on WICC. Good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. How are you?
I'm good, Kathy. Thanks for joining us.
Good.
We appreciate it. Boy, the numbers are not good. More pedestrians, more drivers. Kathy, I know there are a lot of things that were discussed. We've been talking about the whole thing about traffic enforcement cameras and people bringing up speed bumps and higher fines. What was the general tone yesterday, Kathy, of the legislative hearing there? And what are some of the things you think that might be doable in this session?
Well, I think overall, you know, it sounds like a good recommendation. So this Vision Zero Council was created in 2021 to develop a statewide policy and interagency approach to eliminating, you know, these traffic, transportation-related fatalities, and also for pedestrians and bicyclists. I'm probably aware, but this past year, there was 75 pedestrians that were struck and killed, up 31%, 61 fatal motorcycle accidents, and 4 bicycle accidents. So that's you know, it's unnerving. You know, yesterday, there was a lot of positive, but there's a few things in this bill. It's a very good bill. It's got a lot of good points, but a couple of things in it that seem to get the some or the mandatory helmets for motorcyclists. I think that came up in my very first term, and it was a standalone bill.
Mm-hmm.
It's embedded into this bill, which is actually Public Act 2128. And it's so that's one of the ones. You mentioned the traffic cams.
Yeah.
Although some people are in favor of it. I think what's interesting to know about that I didn't realize on that one, that's really going to be where they're aware of a history of crashes.
Mm-hmm.
So protect pedestrian safety, and also in school zones for people that might be passing through too quickly, where there's a walkway for children, or buses, you know, leaving or picking up the children there. So that was those are two of the things. And then another one was the eminent domain It's for right-of-way for multi-use trails.
Oh.
And so that's interesting. There is legislation on the books already, and this, from what was explained to us, would strengthen that legislation.
GOP State Rep. Kathy Kennedy is the guest. She's the ranking member, the Republican ranking member on the General Assembly's Transportation Committee, talking about a package of safety measures that may get heard likely in this long session, the 5 or 6 month session of the General Assembly this time around. Kathy, I had no idea that the helmet law popped up again in that package of bills.
Yeah.
Boy, Kathy, that is a passionate thing. Now, I don't ride. I don't have a bike, but I have friends of mine who have everything from little scooters to $20,000 Harleys. And that's one thing where I have friends who don't wear anything, maybe some goggles, because they don't like the hemmed-in look. They say it, you know, cuts down on their peripheral vision. And then I have friends who wouldn't go down the street without a helmet on. So do you expect that to be contentious again or not?
Yeah, well, what had happened, we had a speaker that's spoken many, many times. Usually, we usually hear from hundreds and hundreds of motorcyclists. And yesterday, they just really had one spokesperson for them, which was great for us not to spend 9-10 hours there listening. And we do appreciate it. So they consolidate to one person. You know, honestly, I mean, I don't ride a motorcycle. I'm not usually even a passenger on one. I don't see why you wouldn't wear one, but I don't think you should be told to wear one. It's got to be your choice. If you want to wear it, you know, you wear a helmet. That's certainly your decision.
The traffic enforcement cameras, you know, before you came on, I literally took 90 minutes of calls here. Most people, Kathy, are and I think you and I can understand this, they're leery, they're weary of this.
And the
thing that people think this will be, and I think it's incumbent upon lawmakers to frame this right, and I think you have, people see a cash grab. And I say, well, wait a minute. As you mentioned, Kathy, the cities and towns under this are going to have to justify why and where they want these cameras, correct?
Yes, yes. And so that part will be interesting. And some of the people that spoke against it were, you know, they felt like it was almost an invasion of their privacy, so to speak. And then I had to have to wonder about the enforcement of collecting that fine. So you'll send the ticket, and so it'll either arrive where it's supposed to arrive or not. So then you come to the point of, you know, how are we going to collect those fees?
Is this system, Kathy, for as how it has been explained to you folks there in Hartford, is this a totally automated system, or would there be any sort of, I don't know how to put this, any sort of human interaction in the chain? As somebody raised who called me earlier, like, okay, if a red flag goes up on this car and they take a look at the video, do you know, and I know this is probably a very, you know, detailed system here, is it all automatic, or is there, as it was presented to you folks on the committee, is there any human interaction to maybe say, well, okay, this is not a blatant violation because X, Y, and Z? Has that been explained to you or not?
Yeah, no, not really. So it seems as though it is mostly automated, and that it's just going to snap a picture and get your license number, and then you'll get the ticket in the mail. So that's pretty much how it seems to be summed up to me. I'm just looking through the language. So you know, it's different for so many people to have to. Let's see, I'm just looking at it really quick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's what it's going to be. It's more that it's, you know, so it's going to be less manpower on our, not manpower, but for our police officers.
Yeah.
It won't be, you know. So, you know, it comes down to, in my personal opinion, we have too many impaired, distracted, and speeding drivers out
there.
And they all need to we need to slow down, not be so distracted. And certainly impairment is huge, especially, you know, between like midnight and 3-4 a.m.
Yeah, and Kathy,
see a lot of these fatalities.
Yeah, and Kathy Kennedy is the guest, Republican state rep from Milford and Orange, ranking member on the Transportation Committee. And again, I know, Kathy, there was a little debate up there trying to codify or clarify, now that we have the retail sales of marijuana, not from the local retailers yet, obviously, but from the medical sites. You know, people are wondering here, and they hear that you know, police officers are kind of hamstrung, Kathy, from what we understand as to what they can do if they suspect somebody's driving high, right?
Correct. Yes, you're correct. They can't just pull someone over if they think they smell it or if it's emanating from their car. So it's, but then on, you just brought me to something I just remembered too, is the open container law.
Talk about what's in this bill. Talk about what the controversy is with that. Yeah.
So I think part of it is it was explained by the commissioner, Ucelito. He's, you know, the commissioner right now, Gary Ucelito, and I probably pronounced that pretty correctly. But was explained, and he was going to confirm it for us. If your passenger is driving and having alcohol, who gets the ticket? Was the question asked, and he wasn't sure, but he thought it was the driver that gets it. But then, in another question that was put to him, if you're in an Uber or a Lyft and you're driving, that's fine. So we'll try to explain the difference between two. So if you have a designated driver when you go out, but your passenger is having a beer or whatever, if you're pulled over, the driver's going to get the ticket. So that's kind of...
I guess, Kathy, our law has all these loopholes because there are states I've read, and obviously you've been referred to them with all the other legislators up there. There are states, right, that say no open containers in the car. Sorry, you can't have open booze in the car, correct?
Yeah, that makes sense to me. When I first heard it, I have to say that my first thought was thinking about restaurants that are BYOB.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, you go to wineries and you have wine that's left over. And I did learn that when you transport that back to your home, it's supposed to be in the trunk of your car. I was not aware of that.
No.
So I'm new on transportation this year. So I've learned a lot of things, doing a lot of reading. But there's also going to be a lot of other safety bills, especially in light of all the head-on collisions. So those were not addressed necessarily in this Vision Zero Council, but there are other ones. And this bill, we heard from the public yesterday, it's just a rank bill right now, so we'll see where it goes from here.
All right. Great stuff. Kathy Kennedy, Republican State Rep, Milford and Orange, ranking member on transportation. Kathy, thank you. We appreciate it. Thank you, Paul. And we'll talk down the road. Thanks.
All right. Be safe. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. She mentioned something else there. There's an effort to tighten up the open container law in the state. We've heard from the head of the FBI that the video sharing app TikTok is, in fact, in the FBI director's mind, the video sharing app TikTok is a national security threat, and it is owned by a company that claims to be independent of the Chinese government and the Chinese Communist Party. Now, a lot of people think that's straight up a steaming pile of crap. And several states have banned TikTok from state-issued devices, not from everyday folks, but state-of-so-and-so devices, because they are just wary about this because of what the FBI said, the head of the FBI. Well, story broke the other day in Reuters. Actually, it's on Al Jazeera. That Governor Lamont here and his cyber chief had looked into whether or not they should ban TikTok on Connecticut state devices. And apparently they're not doing it yet, even though other states have, and even some universities have now. So this is a bit confusing. Welcoming back a gentleman we had earlier on a couple of weeks ago, Jake Denton, a research associate in Tech Policy Center at the Heritage Foundation in D.C. Hey, Jake, it's Paul again here in Connecticut. How are you?
Doing good. Thanks for having me back.
So how do you read this? I sent you that article. It's an interesting Al Jazeera piece because they were able to get documents, Jake, through FOI here in Connecticut. And there seems to be this back and forth between tech analysts and the FBI and the governor's office here, convincing the governor, hey, there's nothing big on this yet. But at the same time, several other states have already acted on this, Jake, and even some colleges have told their students to get rid of this app. From afar, what do you make of all this? I mean, was Christopher Wray lying when he talked about TikTok or not?
Well, I think we've known that this has been a major national security threat since President Trump tried to ban this years ago. And, you know, everything in the run-up to these, you know, state bans has just further informed the public that this is a big deal. This isn't something we can just write off. You know, we saw it initially with just a few states and many others followed, but it largely came after revelations from Forbes and some of the great reporting that detailed the extent to which Beijing has access to essentially, you know, average Americans' data. And, you know, this isn't just what, you know, Facebook or Instagram collects on you. This is at a scale that we've really never seen before. They're collecting biometric data, geolocation, and everything is basically cataloged together and makes a giant comprehensive profile on you. And so whether it's through the lens of, you know, securing state government's information or, you know, just a parent trying to make sure their kid's safe online, this is a big deal. And it's time we get serious about it, which, you know, really requires stepping up to the plate and banning it.
Jake Denton is the guest tech policy analyst at the Heritage Foundation, talking about some states, more than a handful now, have said, listen, we cannot have TikTok, this app that's connected directly to the Chinese government on state-issued devices. And apparently, according to good reporting here by Al Jazeera, they were able to get some emails through the Freedom of Information Act that show the Connecticut was considering this, but they're going to hold off on now. Now, Jake, the person listening here who may not use TikTok themselves, but they have a grandson or granddaughter, niece, nephew, sons or daughters who do, they may say, well, everybody, yeah, Facebook knows you, Instagram knows you. But you just said, Jake, and I want you to elaborate a little on this, that what TikTok does under the auspices of a private company, which is complete crap because we know they're connected with the Chinese Communist Party, you claim that their data collection is far and above the mainstream US-based services. Talk a little more about that. What exactly is scary about TikTok?
Well, I think it starts with the algorithm, right? The nature of this platform is hyper-targeted content that's delivered straight to a very addicting kind of for you page is what they call it. And so essentially how this works is it begins to learn what you prefer and it begins to essentially feed you content that it believes you'll stick around on the platform for. And so whether that's, you know, news stories, whether that be, you know, just pop culture trends that it's feeding you, it learns your preferences. And then, you know, one of the big concerns cited by FBI Director Wray is that they could potentially implement little bits of propaganda and shape the minds of the next generation of our citizens into believing things that are more in line with, you know, Chinese Communist Party priorities than, you know, the American way of life.
So if I'm to judge this correctly, it's not necessarily what they know about you, although they do apply that to what they want to do. It's what they do, right? You're saying with that information, far and above sending you just advertising or stuff that may generate revenue on the platform. In other words, am I reading this correctly, that this is all almost like being in a classroom and trying to influence mainly younger voters? I mean, let's face it here. This is really a young person platform, right?
That's absolutely correct. And I think it's important, though, while we're on this topic, to not reduce this down to a single critical flaw, because this is such a multifaceted issue that's really causing all sorts of threats, right? I don't think we can really just cite the propaganda element. It's one of the more important ones. But, you know, view this from the perspective of identity theft, something that's, you know, growingly common amongst, you know, the American public as we kind of digitize our way of life. They have your biometric data. They log your keystrokes. So when you log into, let's say, your email or you're prompted to do one of these things inside of the app, it saves your email, it saves your password. They have enough information to potentially steal your identity. And then you could be caught up in, you know, all sorts of, you know, long legal battles trying to restore your credit. You know, these are all things that your, you know, maybe 10-year-old child doesn't really consider when they log in, but they're faced with this kind of potentially life-altering decision when they upload, when they scroll through the application. And so across the board, I mean, there's countless security concerns that would warrant intervention here.
Jake Denton is the guest, our tech policy expert at the Heritage Foundation. Now, Jake, I do read, you've probably obviously read and researched the same thing, that TikTok apparently is starting to sweat a little bit here, and they have descended on Congress with their lawyers and lobbyists. And frankly, Jake, I was shocked and maybe I shouldn't be in the year 2023, at some former influential members of Congress that are working on TikTok's behalf to stave off any regulation here. What have you heard on that or seen on that?
Yes. So I believe in the last year, TikTok spent upwards of $5.3 million lobbying Congress, trying to avoid this kind of collision course that we're approaching, where we have to decide whether or not it'll be a U.S. sale or it'll be a federal ban, but it just can't go forward in its current capacity. And TikTok saw that writing on the wall, and they bolstered up their D.C. operation. You know, they send out a weekly newsletter to every congressional office, you know, trying to debunk these narratives that, you know, we're rightfully reporting on, whether it be the security concerns, the propaganda concerns. And so, and this is one of the more uncomfortable realities of our current system, where, you know, people leave Washington, join up with a Silicon Valley company, you know, learn the tricks of the trade from out there, and return back to try and influence policy. And it's really to the detriment of the American people.
I have read, Jake Denton, in the past that our cybersecurity experts have asked ByteDance, okay, well, if you say you're not doing anything underhanded, let's take a look at the source code of your app. Let's go down to the kernel, as people say in the computer business, the real source code here, and let's sit down and chat. And do I understand that that is surprisingly rebuffed by ByteDance?
Yeah, so it's been a major tug of war. You know, TikTok, ByteDance is under a CFIUS review, which is essentially a body of our government that kind of conducts foreign influence analysis on, you know, various companies. And, you know, during this process, that's been one of the main points of conversation, you know, whether or not ByteDance would be willing to hand over the code and allow us to conduct an audit. And there's been very little progress on that. I think, you know, they're coming to maybe be force down that path if, you know, that's what can prevent a federal ban. But, you know, we have to realize here, this is billions of lines of code. Mm-hmm. And, you know, ByteDance has the strategic advantage here, knowing the code. They've written it. They know where the things are hidden. Let's say it takes us 2 years to review it and find maybe one of these big issues. That's 2 years where they're able to continue to seed content propaganda that the algorithm will favor.
Finally, Jake, getting a little nuts and bolts here, Jake Denton, if for some reason Congress finally said in a couple of years, hey, this is bad, okay, we cannot allow this app to be on the phones of millions and millions of kids and teenagers and adolescents, how do you turn this off? In other words, I can see where they could tell Google, hey, pull this from the Google store. And they could tell Apple, pull it from the iOS store. But is it possible, Jake, from a technical end, to just flip some sort of switch and to make sure that this does not work on American phones or not?
Yes, absolutely. It's as simple as, you know, the Biden administration or, you know, any other coming administration to put pen to paper and, you know, force Apple and Google to turn it off. You know, they make it out to be this big technical exercise, but it really could happen within a moment's notice. Hmm. And it's something that's long overdue, and we can continue to kick the ball down the road, but the American people will be worse off for it. So it's time to step up to the plate and, you know, put that pen to paper.
All right, Jake, good job. Keep us updated on this. Jake Denton, Research Associate, Tech Policy Center, Heritage Foundation in D.C., heritage.org. Jake, we'll check in with you down the road. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, thanks. There it is, folks. I'm telling you, I hate to tell you, but listen, you don't believe me. Read what the director of the FBI said a couple of months ago. This is a security threat to the U.S. They contend the Chinese Communist Party, it's not ByteDance, it's a shell company. They contend that when your son or your daughter or your grandson or granddaughter or niece, nephew, or the kids next door, when they're using the app TikTok, China knows everything they're doing on that app.